Damn, that bastard's faster than Walt Flanagan's dog.
Ladies and gentlemen, the star of Politically Incorrect, Bill Maher.
Thank you, folks. All right, he is serving. Oh, that's right, in that sense. His fifth term as the Republican congressman from Florida's 7th District, Representative John Mica, congressman. How are you, sir? Good to see you back here. Thank you. He is a fabulous singer, actor, and all-around performer guy. His newest CD collection is available at steveandedie.com. Wow, there's a lot of them. Steve Lawrence, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, Bill.
This is Steve. You know the congressman?
Yes, good to see
you. All right, your gentleman may sit. She is the beautiful queen of the jungle on the syndicated series Sheena. She certainly is Gina Lee Nolan, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, queen. How are you, your highness? And he is the writer-director of Clerks, Dogman, Chasing Amy, his newest adventure, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, hits theaters this Friday, Kevin Smith. Mr. Smith comes to Hollywood. Okay. All right. Now, your movie opens Friday, you said?
Yes.
Okay. I happened to get an advance copy there from Miramax.
So you didn't pay?
I didn't pay, but I would have happily paid half price.
Nice.
No.
I'll put that on a poster.
In spite of myself, I laughed at this. I mean, this is a movie by stoners for stoners.
Right.
I'm not going to say anything else. But I do have a question. Now, it's in the long line of, I say long line, but in the last 10 years, 15 years, whatever, we've had a lot of pairs of idiot movies.
Yes.
And you guys make a good pair of idiots.
Yeah.
Who plays Jay?
Jason Mewes.
He's good. He is a good moron.
A professional idiot.
But we've had Beavis and Butthead.
Yes.
We've had, Cheech and Chong, Bill and Ted, Wayne and Garth, the guys in Dumb and Dumber. Now, Steve.
Yeah, but in a lot of those cases, they're just reflecting what the reality is. I mean, you know, you got a couple of dumb guys making a dumb picture.
And
it's like
people want to see. I mean, stupidity, it's funny. It's entertainment.
It's a reality. It's a reality movie.
Wait, could you smart people wait till I ask the question? My question is, especially for you guys, and I am this era too, I remember when comedy teams, there was always one smart guy and one dumb guy.
Mm.
Abbott and Costello, Laurel and Hardy, Hope and Crosby, Martin and Lewis, the Smothers Brothers, all these teams, there was a smart guy.
Mm. Yeah.
What happened? Why do we now need two morons? What does that say?
I think America likes to see two stupid people together, which is why we had the election we had last year.
Bill, now he's starting to get personal.
Quite a gauntlet.
Starting to get personal.
No offense.
No offense.
Really, unfortunately, it really reflects a lot of what we're seeing in society is the dumbing down of our society, whether it's in politics or in comedy.
Same difference.
You don't think it's because nowadays the audience sort of needs to be the smart guy? They need to look down on somebody.
Yeah.
And if there was a smart guy in the movie, then maybe they couldn't do it. No, you don't think so?
I don't know. I think if there's a happy medium, I think some movies it works. And others, I think Dumb and Dumber is a classic. I mean, I chuckled through the whole entire movie.
You think
how many of you laughed through Dumb and Dumber?
Oh,
I mean, those two were incredible.
If you think they're dumb, where do you see these guys?
I haven't seen his movie yet.
They're dumb, dumber, and dumbest.
Okay.
But you know, it's funny because your movie is like half of it is really for, I think, stoners, and then the other half is like I was laughing my ass off because it's very inside.
Yeah, I think we
it's like cartoons that are half for the kids and half for the adults.
We like to call it dumb comedy for smart people.
Yeah, but doesn't that always reflect the times that, you know, music and art has always reflected what's going on in society? Mm-hmm. And we're living through some very unusual, peculiar times right now.
Okay, now, the other movie I saw recently, Apocalypse Now, got
re-released. Anybody see the re-release? Yeah. When I first saw it, I thought it was like the war, too long.
Right.
They made it longer.
Right.
But it's still a great movie. And I couldn't help think recently when I was reading about the, you know about this, because in Florida is where they run this operation, our defoliation thing that is going on in Colombia. We are going to defoliate those Colombian coca plants to stop cocaine from coming into America.
Right. Hey. That's not going to stop it.
Well,
but stand alone, man.
It'll move it out to...
But really, isn't this Vietnam all over again? Isn't it the same idea? If we just level what's on the ground, the problem will go away.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And... As you know, I chaired the Criminal Justice Drug Policy Subcommittee, helped put Plan Colombia together. The Clinton administration for about 6 or 7 years stopped any aid getting to Colombia. And the result is, in 1993, there was no heroin or there were no poppies produced there. Now it's the...
Not there.
Not there.
But they were always here.
No?
It's like a whack-a-mole game. You hit it there, it comes up
yes,
here.
Yes, that's true. You're absolutely correct. But when you don't hit it everywhere, into this country. And that's why it's coming in from Colombia and also from other areas where Clinton closed down the war on drugs.
But it's still attacking it on the supply side.
It does, but you've got to do all. You've got to do education. You've got a four-year-old.
Wait.
You've got to do treatment. You've got to do enforcement.
You're a four-year-old on coke?
No. God, I hope not.
But it could be today.
My question is, has there ever been one instance in any country, anywhere in the world, where someone who wanted a drug couldn't get it?
Oh,
I've never known one person ever who wanted drugs.
Try doing drugs in Saudi Arabia or Singapore. You'll lose your head in one, and the other one, you'll be hung.
And not have a very good high because it's Saudi Arabia.
It'll ruin your day. It'll ruin your day.
Exactly. My feeling is that I just don't understand scorching the earth to stop a few people from trying to get high. There's a negative, there's a downside to it, but you're not going to stop. Even if you got rid of all the poppies and you got rid of all the coca fields, people are just going to go turn to Mr. Clean and make some crystal meth. What are you going to do? Defoliate Mr. Clean? No way.
Yeah.
Well, I think Kevin raises a good point, and it is a serious problem. And out here in California, we held a hearing in Sacramento about a year ago. We had a small county near Sacramento, 300 families, parents, abandoned their kids. In one case, they actually boiled their child alive from meth. Not imported from Colombia or brought in overseas. It's unbelievable what this stuff does.
Right.
So it takes a combination. It takes education. It takes treatment. It takes parents becoming involved. You know the problem.
Yeah.
You've got.
I think it comes from the home. I mean, I think if you educate your kids the best way you can, and you have that support and that open communication, because drugs are here and they're here to stay, unfortunately.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
The mind is a terrible place to be sober all the time. That's what humanity has been telling us for centuries. And, of course, when you bring up a boiled child, you slightly load the issue. Hey, what do you want? My opponent is for boiling children, and I'm for this. You know, I mean, it just seems like...
Pick your side.
It just seems like no one could argue with that.
It's an old chestnut, but why don't they just... Legalization is still out there. There's still the opportunity because they've legalized booze, they've legalized cigarettes. You never hear about children being boiled of some guy rolling his own cigarette, because nobody does it independently. If you can buy it somewhere, you won't be making it downstairs and that kid being boiled by it.
I got to take a break, but I got to boil.